All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the gift you've given us in your Son. Not just as a baby. Yes, that's important that he came to be a man, born as a man. Born as a man. But that he is risen, he's exalted, he's lifted up. He has all power and authority in heaven and earth. And still, he is your gift to us. And we thank you, Lord. Lord, open our hearts and minds tonight to hear you. To get a sense of you. To know a little bit more of you. Not just of you, Lord, but to know more. To know you more. And Lord, for you to know us a little more as well. Because it is a two-way street. You are here, Lord. You chose us. You called us. You chose us. And you're doing a work in us. And you're the author of that work, and you're the finisher of that work. And Lord, help us to be, how shall I say, Lord, help us not to hinder that work. Help us to be right in line with you, with your plans for us, with your plans for how you are bringing us to salvation, Lord. True salvation. In the image of you. In the image of you. So tonight, Lord, as we look into your word and hear by your spirit what you're saying to us, Lord, fill us up. Fill us up with you. Fill us up with your spirit. Fill us up with your body, your flesh and blood, that we may have more and more of you formed in us. That's what we need, Lord. More of you, more of you, more of you. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing in us. Drawing near to us and drawing us to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So is everybody prepared, ready, getting ready for the end of the world on the 21st of December? Yes. Stan says yes, he's getting ready.
Who said that?
Well, the Mayan calendar. The Mayan calendar ends on the 21st of December.
Predicted the death of John F. Kennedy, a lot of other stuff.
So that's the end of the world. 21st.
Few days.
Yeah, just a few days from now. So. Yes, you need to go get some more stuff from Costco. No, Christmas. No, the world will have ended before Christmas. So,
no more Christmas.
No more Christmas.
Actually, nobody knows. It's just the calendar ends.
I know. Yeah. The calendar just ends. It's and it's been interpolated or predicted by human means that means that they thought the world was going to end. I don't know.
Did Nostradamus predict that?
He may have, but I don't know. Well, we had somebody in the Christian world predict that it was going to happen back in October. Yeah, it could be. It could be.
In October?
Yeah, it was going to end in October. Was that last year? That was last year, wasn't it?
Was that the same night that predicted it would end in September several years back?
Yeah, exactly.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That the Christians, those that were chosen or whatever, would be taken away and the rest of everybody else would be destroyed. But anyway, I bring that up because it's interesting that people get, you know, really wrapped around that kind of stuff. I mean, they're obviously not that wrapped around because I don't see too many people in America, at least anyway, panicking or anything. But
what can you do? It's going to be destroyed.
Yeah, exactly. What can you prepare for if it's going to be destroyed, right? My father, way back when I was in junior high, he said something came up about, you know, what if the world ended? You knew you were going to die, you know, the next day or within a day or two. You knew for sure you're dying. What would you do? And I'm like, I don't know. And my father said, well, I'd go gay popping. Now, gay back then didn't mean what gay means today. Gay meant happy. I would go and basically have a great time, just, you know, just have a great time, not worry about the consequences, because I was going to die. Eat, drink, be
merry,
for tomorrow we die.
That's
yeah.
Scriptural.
That's scriptural. Yeah, but there's some consequences to that I don't think we want. that seems to be the world's thinking, you know, that, if I knew I was going to die, or if I knew, hey, I'm going to have a great time, I'm going to have a wonderful time, I'm going to do everything I wanted to do. And that is kind of the world's thinking. I mean, they may not put it just as, you know, like my dad did and say, hey, you just go out and just, just do whatever. But people, you know, if they know they're going to die, they're looking at, okay, I haven't done this, so I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Wish list or bucket list from that movie that came out. Still the same thing in terms of what can I do for me before I die. Yeah. But before I get into any of that, I saw a cartoon talking about the mindset of people. I saw a cartoon in Answers in Genesis newsletter I get. And it had, I was going to put it up, but I forgot to save it, and then our internet's not working, so I couldn't get it off my email. But I'll just describe it. I have to describe it to the people that are listening anyway. So there's two panels. One has a guy sitting down looking at TV, and there's a preacher saying, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, the beginning to the, you know, when the world, you know, how the world's going to end and so forth. And the guy sitting at the sitting down looking at the television, looking at this preacher, says, ancient myths. Bah. Second panel shows, you know, the newscaster saying, the world's going to end. They're predicting the world's going to end on the December 21st, is what the Mayan calendar says. And the guy's like, oh, I wonder if that's really true, if that's going to really happen, you know. So on one hand, you know, the Bible predicting the things of, you know, the earth and what's going to happen, ancient myths. But here, you know, the Mayan calendar or Nostradamus or whatever, you know, the horoscope or whatever. Oh, I wonder if it's really true. I better do something. You know, it's that mindset of the world. It's a spirit that basically disregards anything that has to do with God and His Word. But yet, man, we fall over backwards, believing everything else that's coming. And we look at the world and say, that's the world. Look at them. You know, that's how you, I mean, when I read that cartoon, that was my first reaction. I'm like, man, look at the world. Yeah, that's how they believe, you know. And then the Lord kind of reminded me, yeah, that's kind of how you believe too. Wait a minute, I don't believe that in the Mayan calendar. I said, no, you may not believe in the Mayan calendar, but there's some things in my word and things that I've told you and things that I've given you of truth that you kind of fall in the same category as the people of the world. And as I thought some more about it, I thought, you're right, Lord. You're exactly right. There are things that I disregard as myths, in a sense, at least in terms of how I behave towards what you've told me. And I believe the Lord was wanting to say that I still have a lot strong influence of the world in my mind. Strong influence of the world in my mind. It's strong in the church. It's strong in individual Christians. It's strong in me. And God is saying it hinders us from, as He draws near to us, it hinders us from abiding in Him and from truly having faith in Him like He wants. There are many things that we allow the world to influence us on in the scriptures. I'm talking just Christians now. I'm not talking about the world. The world is the world, and they, you know, they don't know any better, if you will. But we Christians should. But yet there are things that we allow the world's thinking to influence how we respond to God, how we think of God's word, how our faith is diminished, if you will, if I can use that, toward God because of our worldly thinking that we have. And I'm not saying that in terms of, you know, you're bad or I'm bad or anything like that. I'm just saying this is the way it is, at least in terms of what God has shown me. And we know it. I mean, we know it. Sometimes, well, we know it because God shows us. I mean, a lot of times we go through our stuff and not realize that we're even thinking like the world. But we do all the time. And it hinders us from God. God is not like the world. God is not like the world. He doesn't act like the world. He doesn't think like the world. He isn't of the world. You know, simple things such as, if I can just get into it a little bit, in Genesis, you know, the beginning, the creation, what God has done, what He said He has done in His Word. I mean, I tell you, a lot of Christians today would say that, well, that idea of 6 days, God creating everything in 6 days, I don't know, science says it's probably millions of years. So these days that God is talking about in Genesis is errors, or E-R-A, not errors, error. Anyway, long periods of time, long periods of time. And go ahead. Okay. Things like Noah's flood, for example. Well, God's flood, where Noah, he told Noah to build a boat and the ark and everything. And, oh, there's no way that was probably a local thing. There's evidence after evidence in terms of the geological record that shows that, hey, this couldn't have formed except by a lot of water all at one time. Things about, the idea of who God is. Even the idea of God is. I mean, even worldly people have some idea of something way up there somewhere. Some being somewhere. Whether it's aliens or whether it's some force or whatever that's up there. But something that we cannot relate to. And maybe one day they'll come save us, you know, or come visit us and give us a lot of wisdom and so forth. In a sense, the church kind of acts that way too. You know, God is way up there somewhere. We can't relate to Him. You know, the idea we're talking about the Trinity and so forth, and that He's something that we can't really relate to. He's up there, yeah. You know, if we're good enough, if we do the right formulas or whatever, we might get Him to do what we want Him to do, whatever that is, heal us, get us something, or whatever. But He's not some God that wants to have interaction with us on an intimate level, on a friendship level, if you will, a fellowship level. How we act each day, you know, in terms of, you know, God saying, hey, you know, believe in me. Do as I say. And it'll go well with you. Yeah, but He doesn't really mean it. I mean, what other authorities in our lives really, really, you know, stick to the standard, you know? So God's got to be the same way. Plus, He loves us with unconditional love. So we're okay. We're fine. And how we react to things as if God doesn't exist, when things happen in our lives, when things happen that don't go our way. Something happens, we get some news, or we get some project, or we get something that causes us to be angry, that causes us to be fearful, that causes us to be frustrated. And really what we're doing is acting like the world. In our minds, we're thinking like the world. You know, hey, what does the world do when it gets something that it's unsure that it can do, or unsure that it knows what it is? Gets angry, gets fearful, tries to avoid it. Tries to get somebody else to do it. And how we do the same things in terms of what God is allowing in our lives. And the Lord, I believe, is wanting to remind us that the world is very strong in us. Very strong in us. And it's not going to get out of us as God wants by formulas, by going to church, by knowing a bunch of scriptures. Not saying these things are bad. In fact, they're very good. But if we're relying on them solely as, you know, check. Okay, I read my Bible. Check. I've gone to church. Matter of fact, I've been real good. I went to church twice. I went morning and evening. And if I'm really spiritual, I went Tuesday evening as well.
That's true.
Check. And we think, whoa, we're good. We're good. We're good. And yet, God is saying, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're still thinking like the world. You're still moving in the world. And God is saying, no, that is not going to get you closer to me. That is not going to have Christ formed in you. That is not going to accomplish what I want. I need the world out of you. And he was saying to me, I need the world out of you. And I'm saying, Lord, I want the world out of me. As he's showing me that, you know, just the things of my thinking, the things of my behavior that I literally base my life on. Because that's how I was born in iniquity. I was born in sin. So it's not like, oh, well, you know, you bad boy, you know, how come you let the world get in you? No. It's in you. You didn't have anything to do with it. It's in you. But God is saying, now it's time to stop thinking like the world, stop behaving like the world, even as a Christian and fooling yourself, and start letting me change your mind, renew your mind. You renew your mind, right? You know that. Matter of fact, let's go there. Romans 12:2. Unless the mind is renewed, lest my mind is renewed. The Bible says we are at enmity with God because the carnal mind, the worldly mind, is an enemy of God. And you know it's to be true, right? How we do things that are contrary to what God wants. Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Being transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are conformed to the world by default, by the fact that we were born into the world by default. So, no condemnation here. God is not condemning anyone here. He's not doing it. He's just saying this is a fact. It's a fact. You are conformed to the world. But he's saying now there's a different plan. There's a different way. There's a different pattern. No longer be conformed to the pattern of this world, to the ways of the world, how the world thinks. Oh, this happens. Boom, we act like the world. Oh, this happens. We act like the world. In church, how do we go about, oh, you know, we need this or we need that or whatever. Do we go to the Lord about it or do we say, oh, well, you know, here's how the business way of doing it. Let's do it that way. I'm not saying business ways are not bad. I'm just saying we think, how can we do it? How can we make it happen? Renewing your mind. What's the result of this renewing of the mind? Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. What God's will is. What God's will is for what? Or for, should I say, whom? What God, what will, what will are we looking for? God's will for who?
For Tony.
There you go. For Tony. God's will for Tony. Yeah, God's will for me, for you. God's will for us. What's God's will? What's God's will? Not in just some grandiose, what's my destiny? You know, what's the end of the, what's the end of the trail here? What's going to happen as far as my life? But God's will for tonight, for you, tomorrow morning, tomorrow at lunchtime, tomorrow afternoon, what's God's will for you? Yes, Lord.
You may able to hear God tell you what His will is. It comes from the heart. You know, test and approve what His will is. It's more indirect than just Him telling us.
Okay, yeah, it is. It is. It is. Was it saying Proverbs 3:5, I think it is? 3:5 and 6. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, help me. I just drew a blank. What's that? Sorry? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. And He will direct your path. And in all your ways acknowledge Him. Thank you. And He will direct your path. Thank you. Thank you, Stan. I know. Yeah. Because I was drawing a blank. And I know that verse. Yeah. His understanding is beyond our understanding. His understanding is not of the world. His ways are not of the world. And here Paul is telling us, don't be conformed any longer. Don't be conformed in terms of how you respond to things, how you act upon things, how you deal with things. Don't be conformed to the world. The Lord is saying it is death to us. It is hindering us in terms of the Lord drawing to closer to us and wanting to transform us into His image. Our mind has to be renewed. Because if we act out in the way that our mind or the world, if you will, says we ought to, how we should do it, how we should have relationships, how we should live and interact with people, all of these things, God is saying that will hinder us in terms of where He's taking us. To know His will, for one, and to be in His image. And to be in His image. Let me see. 2 Corinthians. Yeah, we can go there. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 3:14. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Only in Christ is this veil, this understanding of God's word, this understanding of what He is trying to say to us, is veiled, but is taken away in Christ. In Christ. And we talked about this idea of in Christ. It's more than just a belief. It's more than just a, you know, I believe in Jesus and I've accepted Him. In Christ connotates what? What does in Christ connotate to you?
Abigail?
Being a unit.
Being what?
Being together,
okay, being a unit, you and Christ, you and Jesus.
Well, Christ is Jesus and church.
Okay, all right. So the body, head and body, the being in union, together, one, as He prayed to the Father for us to be, like that, in Christ. Okay, all right. What else? To be in Christ.
Jesus said, "Abide in me."
Abiding in Him, living in Him. Yes, Mark. Good. Yeah. Anything else? So it's more than just a mental assent. It's more than just, I've accepted Him, so now, great, wonderful, I've got my ticket, going to heaven, and I'm out of here. Yeah, it's more than that. In Christ, the only way that veil can be taken away is being in Christ. And what does Paul say about the idea of how we get transformed? Anybody remember that? How do we get transformed? Yes, by the renewing of our mind, but I'm thinking of another passage that actually says, talks about being transformed from glory to glory. We behold. Right where?
Verse 18. Transformed in his likeness.
Oh, and we. Tony, good man. Paul tells us just a few verses down. Thank you. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. In Christ. That's the only way the veil is going to be taken away. That's the only way we're going to be transformed. And yes, Benny, that's the renewing of the mind. That's the renewing of our soul, as we've learned a little bit more about the last couple of Sundays. God wants us to have a renewed mind, because that's the only way we're going to be able to relate to him. It's the only way we're going to be able to grow and mature in him. It's the only way we're going to be able to get out of this worldly milieu, this thing that we were born with, this thing that we were born in that controls us most of the time, is having that mind renewed, having it changed from glory to glory. Again, the Lord's not saying it to condemn. The Lord's just saying that this is a fact. This is something we need to be aware of. This is something that, now I could put a guilt trip on you and say it's something you need to change. And you'd probably shake your head up and down. Yeah, I need to change. I need to change. And then just leave it at that and say, go change. But how many know it ain't going to happen? Just ain't going to happen. Can anybody in here transform themselves? I mean, I'm not raising my hand saying I can. Just saying if anybody in here can. Unfortunately, even in the church, we are kind of given this idea that if you do this and you do that, everything's going to be hunky-dory. You can do it. You can do it. God wants to bless you. You can do it. You can do it. And yes, there are many places in the Bible that says, purify yourselves. Get rid of, and it names a bunch of sins. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. But unfortunately, we go away thinking that we got the strength to do it. That we've got the means and the wisdom to do it. And it's like a surgeon who goes in to do surgery. He knows what to do. I mean, he knows what the problem is, what he's got to get out and so forth. But the problem is that they got him blindfolded. And so he's feeling around trying to, okay, do I cut, you know. And of course, obviously, the patient's going to die. There's no doubt about it. He's going to die. And so when we take the things that Paul talks about, purifying yourself and doing these things, and try to run with it on our own apart from God, again, the world's mindset. You go for the gusto. You can do it. Get up. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Come on. You can do it. Don't let anybody tell you, you know, how we get that rugged individualism, you know, that is so strong, particularly in America, and so strong even in my thinking. And you fall flat on your face every time because you don't have the strength, you don't have the wisdom, you don't have the ability. But yet God says, purify yourself. He does say, get rid of it. So how do we do it? Well, obviously we don't do it like the world. That's what God is trying to say to us. We don't do it like our Adamic mind says to try to do it. We have to do what? What do we have to do to purify ourselves, to get rid of sin, to do these things that God has told us to do?
What do we have to do?
Put our faith in the living God.
Okay, put our faith in the living God to do what?
Whatever. When we're looking at Him and going His way, we'll get it done.
Thus ends the lesson. If we're looking at Him and doing it His way, He'll get it done. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. That's what God is saying. If we look at Him, our face unveiled, beholding Him, looking at Him, then transformation happens. Okay, Lord, I'm going to purify myself. Lord, help. Lord, I'm looking to You. I know I can't do it in myself. I'm looking to You. And you know what the Lord is looking for when we do that? Because we got another little issue when we're looking to the Lord, when we're trying to go to the Lord, we're trying to, at least me anyway, trying to say, okay, Lord, here I am, you know, touch me, heal me, do your thing now, I'm here. And God said, no. And God does respond that way, especially, you know, just like your little child or your little baby goes, hey, daddy, mommy, here, come here. Okay, honey, here you go. But when they get older, it's like, wait a minute. Is that all you want from me? Is just something? Don't I get some love? Don't I get a hug? Oh, okay. I love you, Daddy. Now can I have the keys? Yes, God wants to heal us. God wants to do all those things. And just by the fact that you've come and you're focused on Him and saying, you know, heal me, Lord. I mean, yes, He's wanting to do that. But, you know, ultimately, again, not thinking so much, because even the world understands that. But God is saying, beholding Him with unveiled faces, beholding Him, just beholding Him. It doesn't say you're there asking for something. It says you're there reflecting His glory. Where are you in this? Where are you when with unveiled faces reflecting the Lord's glory? Where are you when that's happening? Where are you?
In Christ.
Yes, in Christ. Think tabernacle, the layout of the tabernacle. Where are you?
Mercy seat.
Yes, you're in the Holy of Holies. You're at the throne. What does it say? Come boldly before the throne for help. And God has given that to us. Come boldly before the throne. But not just for help. Not just for help. But Jesus is saying, come boldly into the Holy of Holies. Just to be with me. Just to behold my face. Let me behold you. Let's just love on one another. Let me take you in my arms and just love on you. Just be with me. I want to be with you. Beholding Him. And as we do that, we begin to reflect the Lord's glory. And in the process, we're transformed. We're transformed. Being transformed into His image. The world or the influence of the world says God's way up there somewhere. Yeah, we can petition Him through this, that method, that way. And yeah, he'll heal us. Maybe He'll, you know, bless us with this, that, or the other thing. But God is saying, no, don't think like the world. Have my mind. Have the mind of Christ. Be in Christ. Be with me. Be in me and let me be in you. And just like with the purifying and the getting rid of sin, we can't renew our own minds. We can't do it. If we could, we'd be God. But we can, because Paul says for us to do so, to no longer be conformed to the world, we can do it by being in Christ, in the Holy of Holies. At the throne of God, face to face with God, just beholding, just being there. Lord, I do need things, you know that. But I'm just here to worship you. I'm just here to be with you. I'm just here to allow you to love me and allow me to love you and just be with you. That's the number one thing God wants. The number one thing God wants. And then he will cause the transformation. Then he will cause the being made into his image. He will cause whatever needs to happen. And it'll happen. The renewing of our minds. All of that. Whatever it is we need. Be it wisdom, healing, a blessing, or whatever. God is saying, come to me. I will renew your mind. I will make it like Christ's. To have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. That's what God wants for us. That's what the Lord Jesus wants. And we've got communion today to kind of even remind us tonight of what that is. Of taking in Christ. Eating Christ. Fellowshipping with us. He's knocking at the door, it says. Not to the world. He's knocking at my heart, yours, and saying, let me in. Not let me in so I can beat you up, but let me in so I can fellowship with you. I can eat with you. I can be with you. I can love you. I can teach you how to love me. I can teach you how to be in my presence and to want only that. And then all these other things that I want you to do, that I need you to do, that you want done, that I command you to do, will happen. It will happen. And we don't have to, you know, it's just like in John 15 where it talks about the vine and then the branches. And you don't see branches straining to get fruit. You don't see them up there. You know, you go by and they're just vibrating so hard to try to get that fruit out that, you know, they're almost getting ready to catch fire. No. It happens because they're connected with the vine. And that's what Jesus wants in this idea of renewing the mind. Renewing the mind. That's what the Lord laid on my heart tonight. So I hope what he was trying to get across was getting across to everyone here. We need to be mindful that we are controlled too much by the world's and the world's thinking. And the Lord is saying, hey, I don't want that anymore. And he's saying, come, abide in me. Come, be with me, and I will renew your mind. You don't have to worry about trying to strive. You don't have to worry about trying to, how can I? No. Be with the Lord. Focus on the Lord. Isaiah 26:3 says, oh, Lord, help me. He keeps his mind. All right, Ron, help me out. I mean, I had the thing memorized. Maybe I need Stan again to bring it up. I mean, I know that thing backwards and forwards, and now I'm... Yes, thank you. Actually, go to the King James, if you could. I like the King James. It's very, very good. Okay, King James. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Keep who? Me? You? In perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. He trusts in the Lord. He trusts in his mind is stayed on him. He's in the Holy of Holies all the time. Lord, I want to be in the Holy of Holies with you. And you will be in perfect peace. Perfect peace from what? Perfect peace from worrying about, is my mind being renewed? As God is putting that little burden on our heart today. You know, keep your mind on him, on Jesus, and he will do the work. He will do the work. He'll keep you in perfect peace. Perfect peace meaning a double portion of peace. Double, like peace, peace. Peace, peace. That means you don't have to worry. That means no matter what situation you're in, if you're keeping your mind on Jesus, you're in peace. He will keep you in peace. He's going to renew your mind. He wants to renew your mind. He's telling us, renew your mind in me, in Christ. That's the only way. That's one of the only ways we're going to be able to move closer to Him, in a sense of being more in His image, having more of Christ formed in us, abiding more in Him instead of in snatches like I do. Amen? Oh, yeah. Thank you. All right. Well, go ahead and get ready for communion. And as I mentioned before, this communion, giving this idea of this covenant with the Lord Jesus, basically presenting His body to us as the contract, if you will, between He and I, He and us, you and me, with Jesus. And if there's anything in your heart that you need to get right with the Lord, now's the perfect time. Ron, I'm sorry, could you go to John 6, please? 53. All right, we're looking at John 6, starting in verse 53. And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Let's hold the bread before the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this very, very unique covenant that you've made with us, each one of us, Lord. To give us your flesh, to give us your blood, literally. Happening in the spirit realm, Lord, as we worship you and obey you and walk in your ways, Lord, and behold you face to face in the Holy of Holies. Your covenant to us, Lord. Your covenant, yourself to us. Yourself. And as we partake of that covenant, Lord, partake of you, we are transformed from glory to glory. We are made more, a little more in your image, Lord. We have a little more of Christ formed in us. And we have more of our mind renewed to be the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for making this covenant with your very life and body. And you're doing it today in a sense of giving us of your body, of your life, so that we can be raised on that last day to join you. To be a part of you. Thank you, Lord. You are the bread of life. You are the bread of life. And so, Lord, as we eat this bread, Lord, remind us, not just tonight, but every day by your Spirit, remind us, Lord, of this covenant, of this giving of yourself to us. And help us to reciprocate in responding to that. In Jesus' name. Let's eat the bread. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, or abides in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. Let's hold the cup before the Lord. The one who feeds on you, Lord, will live by you, just as you live by the Father. So help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to open up our gates. Open up the gates to let the King of Glory come in. Open up the door as you're knocking to let you come in to fellowship and eat with us. Lord, you so want to be one with us. You've given everything to be able to do that. Everything, Lord. And all we have to do is eat. Eat and fellowship with you. Help us to do that, Lord, by your Spirit. Help us because we don't know how. Help us each day, Lord. Teach us how. Teach us how to pray for it each day. To pray for abiding in you. To pray for being in you. To pray for being more like you. To pray for renewing our minds so that we may have the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you for your patience and your mercy as you work out this process in us, Lord. Thank you for your love, for we couldn't live without it, Lord. And so, Lord, as we take this cup, may it be an ever reminder of who you are in us and what you are doing and giving to us. In Jesus' name, let's drink the cup. See if I can do this without getting too high. It's your blood that cleanses me. It's your blood that gives me life. It's your blood that took my place in redeeming sacrifice and washes me whiter than the snow, than the snow. My Jesus, God's precious sacrifice. I think I'll go a little higher this time. It's your blood that cleanses me. It's your blood that gives me life. It's your blood that took my place in redeeming sacrifice and washes me whiter than the snow, my Jesus, God's precious sacrifice. Amen. And Lord bless you and keep you, especially as you go home tonight on the highways. Amen.